This episode of the Axon Critic Podcast is brought to you by Molecule. Molecule is reimagining the future of clean air, starting with the air purifier. For $75 off your first order, visit MOLEKULE.com and enter promo code AC. Hey everyone, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. I'm also the author of a bunch of books, including The Accidental Creative, Die Empty, Louder Than Words, and the new book, Herding Tigers. So I was in Kansas City this week doing a workshop and a keynote for Kansas City Design Week. And one of the conversations that happened during the workshop was actually really fascinating. We were talking about how the number of distractions that we experience in the workplace today is escalating. And I sort of posited, I wondered if maybe, you know, like 30 years ago, there was some manager or some creative pro standing in the middle of their office saying, these memos, they're killing me. My inbox is so full, right? Like the copy machine is the bane of our existence. I mean, I wonder if work has always expanded to fill the amount of attention and time we have for it, or if this truly is a new phenomenon. And I think in many ways, it is a new phenomenon. I think that we, because of our technology, things are accelerating. I think that we are able to squeeze more into our lives. These devices that were supposed to give us space to do more nuanced, in-depth human work are actually robbing us of that space because we can squeeze more work into the time that we have. But I want to talk today about a couple of strategies for dealing with distractions. I want to talk about six ways that we can deal with both self-imposed and external distractions to help us allocate our finite attention in the places where it needs to be. Now, the last episode, I talked about protecting your team's time and attention. And today I want to talk about how we can do this for ourselves. Before we jump in, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Molecule. So Molecule is reimagining the future of clean air, starting with the air purifier. They've introduced a breakthrough science that is finally capable of destroying air pollutants at a molecular level. Their technology has been personally effective and verified by science, but most importantly, it's been tested by real people. Molecule has given allergy and asthma sufferers around the country an all new experience. And really, it's because they've replaced the technology that's existed for more than a century. The HEPA filter technology that's been used to clean your air was developed in the 1940s, and there really haven't been any major innovations since. Molecule has created a new filtration system that doesn't just collect those pollutants, that collect in antiquated filters, but it destroys them on a molecular level. Those outdated HEPA filters collect larger pollutants, but smaller things like mold, viruses, bacteria, volatile organic chemicals slip right through, all of which are a big deal to allergy and asthma sufferers. But Molecule uses breakthrough science to break these down on a molecular level. Molecule is easy to use and it has a clean, sleek, and modern design. From the materials used on the device, like its sleek, solid aluminum shell that fits in any room of your home. And I know this is really important to the designers who are listening right now. So for $75 off your first order, visit molecule.com. That's MOLEKULE.com and enter the promo code AC. That's molecule, MOLEKULE.com and enter promo code AC for $75 off your first order. And we thank Molecule for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. All right, let's talk about distractions. Let's talk about those pesky things that get in the way of us focusing on our important work. We have a finite amount of attention to allocate to important problems. And when we give even a small amount of that attention, when we're in the midst of a project, in the midst of deep creative thinking, to a distraction, it breaks our focus. There's a task switching penalty that we pay, and often it takes us significant time to ramp back up. So I want to talk about the two, I sort of call them the two categories of distractions that we encounter as we go about our work. All right, let's talk about self-imposed distractions. These are things like Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, even email, quite frankly, surfing the web, Facebook, any of the sort of social media apps that we use that we sometimes justify as research. I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm creatively inspiring myself. No, actually what happens is sometimes when we get to a tricky part of a project or we get to a place where it starts to feel like the work is going to require a little bit of risk or a little bit of emotional effort in order to get it done, that's the point at which we often reach habitually for these distractions. And again, one little break, you know, if I'm writing, if I'm working on a book project or I'm writing a long form article, or even if I'm working on a podcast or I'm doing something, I'm in a deep conversation with a client, one little break to go check something very quickly can have a trickle-down effect on my engagement. It causes me to break with that train of thought I had, and my mind thinks, oh, you're doing something else now. And then I come back and my mind has to gear back up. All of the nuance is lost. And I think we lose a lot of nuance in our work and our conversations because we allow ourselves to bounce from thing to thing. I call this the ping. In the Accidental Creative, I wrote about this. It's called the ping. The ping is that perpetual pinprick in my gut that says, you should go check your email right now, right? You should go check your Twitter feed. You should go check Instagram. You should go check your phone. It's this perpetual sense that something out there might be more important than what's in front of me. Something out there might be more important than what's in front of me. And it has us living in a state that researcher Linda Stone calls continuous partial attention. So I'm always kind of here, but I'm kind of somewhere else at the same time. And we, of course, do not do our best work that way. So a couple of strategies for dealing with these self-imposed distractions. The first one is I encourage you to make it inconvenient. What do I mean by this? I mean, proximity is power when it comes to your technology. So if you are working on something, if you're working on a project that requires you to be in front of your laptop, turn off your notifications, close out of all of your social apps or your email app or whatever. If you can, go full screen with the work that you're doing. So what this means is that you are going to have to go in and turn on your notifications, or you're going to have to exit out of full screen, go into something else in order to go check something or go look at something or go surf something. You are going to have to make an extra step in order to do that. If you make it inconvenient, then it's going to be less tempting to you in the moment, or at the very least, it's going to seem like I have to jump another step. It's the same principle behind how people tell people who struggle with credit card debt to freeze your credit card in a block of ice, right? Because, you know, okay, I want to go buy something. You come and you sit it out and you wait for it to thaw. And by the time it thaws, you realize, you know, I really didn't want that all that much. It was kind of an impulsive thing. So we can train ourselves in the same way to not be led by these distractions. Another thing is, you know, if you are on a call, if you're doing work, something like that, put your phone across the room. I mean, physically put it across the room or across your workspace, or put it in your bag, or put it someplace where you can't see it. If I'm doing an interview, a podcast interview with someone, I'm being interviewed, or even if I'm interviewing, I put my phone on the other side of the room so that I'm not tempted to just pick it up and play with it. And then, you know, they ask me a question and, you know, for a national, you know, radio program. And I'm like, can you repeat the question, please? Because I was distracted for a second, you know? So I know it's silly we have to do this, but we do, because we have allowed ourselves to fall into this perpetual distraction to the point where it almost becomes addictive. It does become addictive. So make it inconvenient is the first strategy for dealing with self-imposed distraction. The second one is use it as a reward. Okay, so make it inconvenient, but then use it as a reward. Say, if I work for 25 minutes on this project, I'm going to give myself 5 minutes of surfing the web. I'm going to give myself 5 minutes of, you know, checking Instagram. I'm going to give myself 5 minutes of whatever. Or if I work a solid, you know, 3 hours this morning with some breaks, right? But if I work a solid 3 hours this morning, I'm going to take my entire lunch break and I'm not going to think about work at all. And I'm just going to surf the web. I'm just going to, you know, check Instagram, just do whatever it is that I want to do. I'm going to get my fix then, but use it as a reward. You know, our minds are powerfully wired to value what is rewarded. So if we get rewards from a behavior, then we're going to start craving that behavior. So if we train ourselves to work and then reward ourselves for that work, then we're going to crave that reward, but we're going to be able to tame the instinct in the moment. Okay. So that's the second thing. The third thing is make a game out of it. Meaning, how little time can you spend on Instagram this week? How little time can you spend watching Netflix this week? How little time can you spend doing those things that distract you from your core work? You know, make a priority out of it, sure. You know, make it inconvenient, sure, but make a game out of it even. You know, I'm not saying deprive yourself of stuff that brings you joy and brings you pleasure. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is if you gamify it, it will motivate you. It's kind of like people gamifying exercise, you know, when they compete against their friends and I'm going to run more miles than you do this week kind of thing. Well, it gives you a little bit extra incentive to get out the door, to put on your running shoes and get out the door. So is there a way that you can gamify it? You can make a game out of it. Okay. So those are three ways I believe that will help you deal with these self-imposed distractions, right? The places, the areas, and listen, cut yourself some slack. I know that people get frustrated with their personal lack of discipline. I know that we feel like we waste so much time doing, I know, but guess what? There are companies spending tens and hundreds of millions of dollars on behavioral analysts, but you know, trying to figure out how to make these tools more distracting and more addictive. So understand that you're up against an army of people who understand what makes you tick, what buttons to push. So you have to be diligent. You have to be disciplined about it so that you can, you know, put those things at bay and you can focus on the important work. All right, let's talk about external distractions, because I think some of us, we recognize we have internal issues with distraction for sure. We can do something about that. We have agency to deal with that, but sometimes we don't feel like we have agency when it comes to external distractions. So I want to give you a couple of strategies that have worked really well for organizations I've worked with or companies I've worked with. The first one is to negotiate what I call no-fly zone time. So no fly zone time is uninterruptible time. It's a block of time where you are under everyone is under organizational mandate not to interrupt anyone else unless given explicit permission to do so. Now, in most organizations, it's the opposite, right? You can interrupt me unless I tell you not to. But in this case, what we're saying is between the hours of, say, 11 and 1 every day, unless you're given explicit permission to interrupt someone, you are to leave them alone, let them do their deep work. So they have a predictable 2 hours of deep work time every day. Could you imagine having 2 hours of predictable time 5 days a week? What would that do for you? What would that do for your organization? People wouldn't stress out over meetings. They wouldn't stress out over little minor interruptions throughout the day if they knew they were going to have 2 hours of uninterruptible time through the middle of the day or whatever it looks like for you. So is there a way you can negotiate no-fly zone time with your manager? Or if you're a manager yourself, is there a way you can instill this in your organization as a way to protect that deep creative thought time? All right. The second thing is make the ask for space, right? And what I mean by this is there's a right tool for every situation. And a personal visit is not always the right tool. Sometimes email is the right tool, or a text is not the right tool, or Slack is not the right tool in some circumstances, right? I love Slack, but sometimes it's not the right tool for every circumstance. Sometimes it does require a personal visit, right? Or sometimes it does require a phone call if it's more urgent. But what we have to avoid is this thing of, you know, somebody sending an email and then 30 seconds later you hear a knock on the door and people, you know, did you get my email? Right? We have to avoid this dynamic of expecting immediate response to everything. And so just make the ask of people. Say, hey, understand that if you send me an email, that I don't treat that as an urgent communication. So just recognize that it might take me an hour, hour and a half to get back to your email, maybe 2 hours, sometimes maybe the entire day if I have a day full of meetings. If it's truly urgent, then let's set up a time to talk about it and make it happen. But you know, we need to make the ask for space. We need to tell people, listen, the kind of work that I'm doing and you're doing, we're all doing, requires us to get deeply immersed in our thoughts. And every time those thoughts are we're distracted from those thoughts, there's a cost to that. So that ask for space is not a selfish ask. It's actually an ask on behalf of the organization and your clients. So you have to make the ask. So I encourage you, don't say, I am setting some boundaries, but instead say, hey, I want to let you know how I use these tools and how I think about these tools. And let me set some expectations about how I'm going to reply to you depending on the technology you use. If you text me, there's a good chance you'll hear back from me sooner. If you email me, just know it could be an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. But I would like for you to try to respect the way that I use these tools so that I understand the level of urgency in your request. And that's a big part of the problem with these external requests is everything is treated with the same level of urgency, right? all staff announcement that's not really all that important or any very relevant is treated with the same level of urgency as, oh my gosh, our client is completely blowing up and we need to have a meeting ASAP. You know, all of these things happen in the same way. So, you know, make sure that you communicate how you think about the tools you use and make sure that you are setting some boundaries around them. And then that leads to my third strategy, which is turn it into an economic thing. You know, just saying, hey, please don't distract me, sounds like you're a prima donna, you know, sounds like you're sort of the diva saying, don't distract me, my time is too valuable, which it is. But, you know, it makes you sound like the bad guy. Instead of saying, hey, there is a tremendous economic cost to all of this distraction that happens. We're doing important, deep thinking, creative work. And that is very costly. It's very expensive. There's never a guarantee of when the idea is going to happen. So we need to make sure that when we get into the flow of our work, that we're not interrupted, because every time we're interrupted, there's a task switching penalty. We have to gear back up. It could take us, research says, 3 minutes up to 20 minutes to regain our depth of focus when we're interrupted. Do you understand the economic cost of, say, a 17-minute void of true productivity? You're not paying me to bounce distractions back and forth. You're paying me to be here, to be present, to bring my full faculties to this work and to create value. And so turn it into an economic conversation with your manager and say, hey, I love my job and I love when I get to really be in the flow and produce value, but I feel like there are so many distractions that it's really difficult sometimes for me to produce the kind of value I'm capable of. So if I could have a little bit more space and a little bit more focus, we could set some rules around how we communicate with one another and the kinds of distractions we experience, I truly believe I could up the value that I create significantly, right? But then you have to follow through and you have to deliver on that. But I encourage you to turn it into an economic thing for your manager. All right. So those are just a couple of strategies. Number one, for self-imposed, number one, make it inconvenient. Right? Number two, use it as a reward. Number three, make a game out of it. For external distractions, number one, negotiate no-fly zone time. Number two, make the ask for space. You know, use the right tool in the right situation. And number three, turn it into an economic thing, which it is. And if you're a manager, turn it into an economic thing for your entire organization. You tell your boss and your boss's boss, listen, the way we're doing things is not working for us. It is taking us away from the value we're capable of contributing. All right. I wrote about a lot more of this in Herding Tigers. If you're interested, you can check that out. There are a couple of chapters actually about protecting your team's time and attention and how to build some systems and infrastructure to help you do that. Hey, I would love to hear your thoughts, your feedback, your comments about this. interact@accidentalcreative.com is my email address. You can reach me there. Share your strategies for dealing with distraction in the collective at collective.accidentalcreative.com. That's where we talk about all of these episodes. Or jump on the email list at accidentalcreative.com/subscribe. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time. Da 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 da